Amen. Quickly, let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. I ask God to help us as we go into His Word. The Lord will make us what He wants us to be. Matthew chapter 6 is a very familiar scripture that we all know. Today I trust God to lead us and help us to understand some of the things that He will want us to know, just a few things. I read from verses 25 to 33. Familiar scriptures. Are we all there? Hallelujah. I read. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I guess the answer is no one. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we'll look at what I titled, First Things First. First Things First. There are so many things, but there are first things. And it's one of those first things, or few of those first things, I want us to consider this morning. You see, it's quite interesting that life, or the education that we go through these days, are making us to consider what we are being taught as the primary needs or the basic needs of man. We are told in social studies and economics, right? The basic or primary needs of man, food, one, clothes, and shelter. Yeah, they are the basic needs. The education we go through and the system of this world has made us, or is patterning us towards those lines, that you have to work for what to eat, or what to put on, or what to shelter yourself with. So you need to work so that you can live in a good house. You need to attain the height of your career so that you can appear good. And you have money in your pocket to provide food for yourself, because you don't need to go hungry, and you need to appear well. And the social media is not helping matters, because I have not seen anyone post a picture, his or her ugly picture. So you take series of pictures, and those ones that you appear to look the best, you put them there, so that people say, this person also belong. So we always like to appear good. We like to appear healthy. And we like to show forth that we are staying in a very comfortable place. A few weeks ago, we learned of one, is it actress or whatever, that had to go and pose in front of somebody's magnificent building. Because of what? Because life is patterning us to believe that food that clothes, that shelter are the primary things that we need. And we are running helter-skelter, doing what races every now and then to make sure that we are not lacking in these things. Yeah, it is good to eat, it's good to have good clothes on yourself, it is good to live in a very big or good house, but those are not the first things. Last week, Pastor Ayo was ministering to us and he told us about daring to be different. Now, in daring to be different, we need to do what we need to set our priorities right. And in setting our priorities right, we need to put first things in the first place. So we will not be like the heathen. We will not be like pagans. We will not be like those who do not know God. Because these are the things that they run after. These are the things that they pursue. And it is interesting to know that Jesus categorized the people that run after these things as those who do not know God, who are pagans, idol worshippers. What are idols? What are idols? Gods that are made by human hands. They don't see. They cannot walk. They cannot feel anything. They don't have life. So when you pattern yourself after these things that we that the world has made us to understand that they are the primary and the basic things of life, then you are not different from an idol worshiper. And Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, see, in this world we will have need of those things. Yes, your heavenly Father knows these things. But first things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, all these other things will be added unto you. So first things first. Seek the kingdom of God. Time will not permit us to go into details about the kingdom of God. But one thing that we need to understand is to know that in seeking the kingdom of God, you need to require, you need to have the consciousness that God has to rule over your life first. Let me be governed by God and his principles. Let my life be patterned after the things that God desires. That is what it means to seek the kingdom of God. Everyone that God has worked with, that we know, both the ones that we have their records and the ones that we don't have their records, have always removed themselves from the so-called worldly basic needs to the things that God requires of us first. Seeking him, allowing him to rule and to govern our lives. God's rulership, his government, his dominion over us. So you don't seek to be ruled by what the society has laid down. You don't even need seek to be ruled by what yourself desires and demands. Not to talk of being ruled by Satan, but being ruled by God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is when we seek to be ruled by God that we'll be eager to begin to understand what are the principles, what are the guidelines that rules or that conforms with the kingdom. Now, few things. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are what? As are led by the Spirit of God. They are what? They are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, this is the definition of who a Christian is. Anything outside of this is not who or what a Christian is. If you are not led by the Spirit of God, then you are none of His. So we desire to be led by the Spirit of God. We desire to walk. We desire to live by the principles of God's Spirit. The same Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 14 is another. Chapter 14, verse 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." For the kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When we talk about righteousness, the righteousness that the Bible mentions here is not the right standing with God which we have through Christ, but right living. Right living. And there is one verse of the scripture to me that describes or that explains right living. And it's in the book of Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. I love the way Amplified Version put it. Can we have the Amplified Version of the Bible? Now in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 17, verse 1, God told Abraham, "I am the Lord God Almighty. Say, walk before me and be what? And be blameless." Or walk before me and be perfect. Can we have Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, Amplified Version? I'll read from my phone. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk habitually before me with integrity, knowing that you are always in my presence." Knowing that you are always in my presence. And be blameless and complete in obedience to me. Now, that clause, knowing that you are always in my presence, makes the difference. If you are always conscious that wherever you are, God is, then it will inform what you say, it will inform what you do, it will inform how you appear physically. Because you are in the presence of the Most High. So nobody needs to come and tell you, "Hey, brother, the way you are talking, sister, the way you are looking, or the way you appear." No. Because you have the consciousness that God is wherever you are. And this has to go beyond. Because these days, this social media of a thing is seriously affecting us, because we think that some things we do, they don't count or they don't matter. You know, we have gone from lying with our mouths to lying with our hands and saying things we don't mean with our hands. And it is very, very saddening that when you see Christians what they type with their hands, you'll be wondering. Now, we call them jokes. Good jokes. But then the Bible said, every idle word that a man, every idle word. Now, I can be saying them because I want people to laugh or people to, but the Bible calls it idle word. And every idle word a man says, he shall give account of. So we need to be careful the things that we type. We need to be careful of the things that we do, what that we say, knowing that we are in the presence of God. Not just when we come to church, not just when we are with our brother, but every time. Now, I've told myself, it is not everything you read that you comment about. I don't need to reply everything, because it is so subtle that in the Bible says, in the multitude of words, sin does not lack. So if you're that person that for everything that you see, you must talk. Everything that you see, you must talk. Please start today to put a check on yourself. And the only way we can do that is to live by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will nudge you. See, this you are typing, this you want to say is not right. So we need to get these things in our minds and begin to ask God for help. We need to ask God, help me. It is not an easy thing. But for as many, that's why we sang the song, brokenness, as many as will allow God to break them, as many as will allow God to mold them, as many as will allow God to transform the way they reason, the way they think, God is able. God is able to help. It will be interesting for us to know that same word that was perfect in Genesis chapter 17 verse 1 is the same word that was translated to blameless, the same word that was translated in Leviticus chapter 11 verse 44 as holy. It is the same word that was translated in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48 as perfect. It is the same word that was translated in Luke chapter 6 verse 36 as merciful. What Jesus said, be ye merciful, for your heavenly Father is merciful. It is the same word. So when you talk about holiness, you're talking about being perfect, you're talking about being blameless, you're talking about being merciful. Most of us are not merciful. Most of us are not compassionate. But that is one of the first things that God wants us to have in us. So quickly we move on to peace. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, is peace. Now, peace starts with this, knowing that God is in control. Psalm chapter 62 verse 11 says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard that all power belongs to God. So we need to come to that fact that God is in control, because all power belongs to Him. So peace starts with that. Because if you don't know that God is in control, then you will be disturbed. Now, having peace with yourself and being at peace with others. The Bible says, as much as lies in your hands, be what? Be at peace of. Be at peace with others. Hebrews chapter 11, I think verse 6, talks about following peace with all men. Peace. Are you peaceful within yourself? And are you at peace with others? And the last one, joy. Joy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want us to look at it as we begin to round up. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'll read verse 47. This is one of the first things that I've been seriously asking God to help me with. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47. Okay, let me read from verse 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. This is talking about some of the curses that God told the children of Israel will come upon them. Now look at verse 47. He said, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. One of the reasons why the children of Israel went into captivity is because they were not joyful. They were not joyful. No wonder the psalmist wrote in Psalm 51, I think verse 12, he said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. If there is one thing that we need as Christians in this time, is for God to restore joy to us. And I'm praying that prayer series that God, please restore joy to me. Not the joy that comes from having food on my table, not the joy that comes from having money in my pocket, but the joy that comes from Him and from Him alone. That is what is called unspeakable joy. I am happy, I am glad, not because I have food to eat, not because I have water or whatever to drink, not because I have good clothes to put on, not because I have roof over my head, but because I have God. There is a joy in knowing that God is in control. There is a joy in being saved. The joy of your salvation. All the disciples of Christ were martyred apart from John, and most of them died joyfully. They died joyfully because they knew that something is ahead of them. The Bible talked about Jesus saying, knowing who, for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him. All of us need to come to that place where we begin to ask God to help us in righteousness, in peace, and in joy in the Holy Ghost. These are some of the first things that we need to start putting first in our lives. And as we do that, God will help us in Jesus' name.